Adrishtaya, unto one who is beyond the purview of material vision. Pretty good, that's a lot of words. You did a good job. Nama Krit. Offering obeisances. Nripaha, the king. Sandarshita, revealed. Atmane, unto the supreme soul. Avyaktaya, who is beyond the manifestation of the material world. Also, Devanam, of the demigods. Devaya, unto the Supreme Lord. Swapuram, to his house. Yayao, returned. Translation, King Krita then offered his respectful obeisances unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is the Supreme Lord of all the demigods. Although not an object of material vision, the Lord revealed himself to the sight of Maharaj Prithu. After offering obeisances to the Lord, the king returned to his home. And this is the last verse of the chapter. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. The Supreme Lord is not visible to material eyes, but when the material senses are inclined to the transcendental loving service of the Lord and are thus purified, the Lord reveals himself to the vision of the devotee. Avyakta means unmanifested. Although the material world is the creation of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he is unmanifested to the material eyes. Maharaj Prithu, however, develops spiritual eyes by his pure devotional service. Here, therefore, the Lord is described as Sandarshitatma, for he reveals himself to the vision of the devotee, although he is not visible to ordinary eyes. And this thus ends the Bhaktivedanta purport to the fourth canto, 20th chapter of Srimad Bhagavatam, entitled Lord Vishnu's Appearance in the Sacrificial Arena of Maharaj Prithu. Adrishtaya Namaskritya Nripa Sandarshatatmane Avyaktaya cha Devanam Devayat Sva Puram Yayao. King Prithu then offered his respectful obeisances unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is the Supreme Lord of all demigods. Although not an object of material vision, the Lord revealed himself to the sight of Maharaj Prithu. After offering obeisances to the Lord, the king returned to his home. Svapuram. The word for word is to his own house, but whether you hear what his house looks like. It's the king's palace. It's a little puzzling. Not terribly puzzling, but a little puzzling to consider King Prithu. On the one hand, he's a Shaktivesh avatar, and on the other hand, he's being described as developing spiritual eyes, etc. And, you know, the previous section where he was feeling enmity towards King Indra, you know, like a conditioned soul might feel, something like that, because he had forgotten that he's not this body, and you know, those kinds of things. So it's a little puzzling. And then he's an incarnation, Shakyamuni's avatar, but he's being rescued from that angry position by Lord Vishnu, and then Lord Vishnu goes back to his abode and he's offering obeisances. He who is a Shakyamuni avatar is offering obeisances to Lord Vishnu. Because it's not that a Shakyamuni avatar is like one of us. They're empowered, although not Vishnu, they're empowered to act in fullness as Lord Vishnu acts. But then, on the other hand, he's a living entity. And although empowered to rule, that's the particular empowerment, the Lord's ruling potency. So the Lord can rule like nobody else can rule. And the fullness of that ruling potency was invested in Prithu Maharaj. So it's not just he's being humble or something. He's being humble, but it's not just that. He's acting as a jiva acts in relation to the Supreme Personality of Godhead serving him. And he has that regard for the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the regard of service and submission. And that submission or surrender includes feeling protected and all the things that surrender is made up of. That's, in one sense, it's puzzling, but in another sense, it's for given the qualification of the living entity that becomes an empowered living entity, just like Lord Brahma, he's empowered with the Lord's creative potency, and Narada is empowered with the Lord's devotional potency, and the Kumaras are empowered with the Lord's knowledge potency, and they certainly see the Supreme Lord as the Supreme Lord, although they're empowered in fullness of a particular aspect of the Supreme Lord's power. So in any case, that's Prithu's position. He's regarding the Supreme Personality of Godhead as his worshipable master and protector. Few things from the language of the purport. Avyaktaya cha devanam devaya swaparam yayau. The devas, but this is the Bhagavatam's message. The Bhagavatam's message is there's one Supreme Personality of Godhead, and that's Krishna. And those direct expansions, plenary expansions of Krishna, they're not the same as, or the demigods are not the same as Lord Vishnu. It's one of the offenses against the holy name to consider the demigods to be equal to or independent of Lord Vishnu. They're not. So it's just the poetic language is there's the devas, and he's the devaya of the devas. He's the Lord of the demigods. So no mistake in understanding his position. Persons may worship the demigods or honor the demigods, and the demigods honor him and worship him. So let us worship him. And another word in the purport is this, or verse is avyakta, avyaktaya. The term avyakta has a number of meanings, depending upon the use of the term. One is describing the material creation itself. There's a period when it's manifest, and there's a period when it's not manifest. Manifest avyakta, not manifest avyakta, and then resting period, and then manifest avyakta, and then withdrawn avyakta, and rest, and then manifest. So, besides that cycle of manifest and not manifest, another is the pastimes of the Supreme Lord who appears within that creation. Sometimes they're manifest, sometimes they're not manifest. And when they're, this goes back to the mantra upasana topic, but when their pastimes are manifest, one of the unique things about the manifest pastimes is qualified, unqualified, doesn't matter. Anyone can see the Supreme Lord. Anyone can see the Supreme Lord. So it's great mercy. And some people wake up when they see the Supreme Lord. Some people are still asleep. They think of him as an ordinary person. Their inimical attitude towards the Lord, they hold on to it very tightly. And consequently, they make some offense, and they get, you know, the fruit of their offense. But it's a merciful manifestation. And then at other times, those pastimes are withdrawn, so they're not manifest. So that's the avyakta. And here's yet a third term, or use of the term avyakta, where he who is not ordinarily manifest, here's how Prabhupada describes it. Avyakta means unmanifested. Although the material world is the creation of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he is unmanifested to material eyes. So even when he appears and is exhibiting his pastimes to those who have material eyes, he remains unmanifested. They cannot see him. They cannot see him as he is. They see him some other way. They cannot see him as he is. So, as long as there's material eyes. But then, when there's spiritual eyes, that this is a nice perspective on the Brahma Samhita verse, Premanjana Charita Bhakti Vilochanena Santaksa Daiva Hridayesha Vilokayanti Yamsham Sundara Machinchugana Swarupam. So it's that Premanjana, the ointment, Anjana, of Prema. You can't buy it at a pharmacy. It has another source. That the those who are mature in their devotion to Krishna, they have prema, and they don't have a store, but they don't have a price. Well, the price is faith. So then they can give that, or they can be awakened, and one can then have the ointment of love, and then smearing the eyes with premanjana, one can then see Shyamasundara within the heart and everywhere. But it requires that ointment of prema. So here, Prabhupada is saying, Prithu Maharaj, however, developed spiritual eyes by his pure devotional service. So, that premanjana, that special ointment that the eyes need to be smeared with in order to see Krishna. It's the ointment of pure devotional service. And when one cultivates devotional service by the process of hearing and chanting, and then following that all of the other processes of devotional service, remembering, offering prayers, deity worship, serving his lotus feet, and so forth, then devotional service matures. And so the qualitative way with which we do those things can accelerate the process of maturing. And when the bhakti creeper matures, then that fruit of prema is there, however long it takes. And however long it takes, again, depends on the qualitative way with which we engage in devotional service. The same phrase, this, you know, smearing the eyes with the ointment, is found in a nice verse, and I can't remember it, I don't have it in front of me, but it's a verse from 11th Canto, Chapter 3, where the process of devotional service is described. Jiva Goswami speaks of it in his Bhakti Sandarbha, and Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur speaks about it in this long commentary on Lord Vishnu hearing the calling of Ajamila. And when he hears the calling of Ajamila, he considers, oh, he's calling my name, that purport. I must appear. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, I mentioned this yesterday, but because I just went through it in our japa retreat in Houston, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur has an 11-page purport where he describes the different stages of the Lord's responding to one who calls his name. The Sanskrit word is matihi. He considers, he thinks, but when Krishna thinks, or Narayana thinks, it's not like us, you know, pondering something. But his consideration is fact. Like Krishna states in Bhagavad Gita, in my opinion. But when Krishna has an opinion, it's fact. When we have an opinion, it's, you know, whatever it is. Maybe, maybe not. It's an opinion. So Krishna considers Ajamila's calling as it prompts him, or we can say it prompts his heart, his feelings are stirred, because he's a loving, unlimitedly loving personality. And when he hears someone calling his name, it's like a mother hearing their child cry. The mother responds, at least the loving mother responds. And Krishna's most loving. I remember very vividly giving a class in Kidanagari, and there's like a large temple room, and over there somewhere a child cried. And both the husband was here, the father was here, and the mother was there, and they both stood up. Like, they could tell the nature of the cry of their child, that it was their child. All the others were, you know, it's not my child. But they knew the sound. Immediately, they both got up and went to attend to the crying child, because the child was asleep, so they could attend the class. And then when the child woke up, he cried. And immediately they were attending the child. Like that. We're asleep, and we awake enough to call Lord's name. Even unintentionally. Or to speak of, then in the purport, it's the gradations of intentionality. You know, intention. That was the reference that I was making with the Japa retreat. To be have intention of addressing Krishna, calling Krishna. And in that section, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur quotes a verse in which a similar message, but when we call not just as a jamila unintentionally, but we call with attention and practice or strive to do like that, the personality of Godhead becomes moved more than just sending the Vishnu Dutas to give protection to us. But the verse specifically makes mention again of this term Anjana, where the eyes of the devotee become coated with this Anjana, this Bhakti Anjana, you can say. Here the mature stage is Prema Anjana, but the Bhakti Anjana, where they then can, I then reveal myself, I show myself before their very eyes. This is the personality of Godhead's nature. We could say it this way. To have a desire to restore our loving relationship with Krishna, whatever that is, hundreds of times Krishna is desiring for us to do that. 100 times more. Or the desire to see Krishna, hundreds of times more he wants to show himself to us. But he doesn't unless it's a sincere desire. And how does that sincere desire awaken? It's specific to our process of chanting. When we're chanting, and the desire is to be in that relationship with Krishna, which is certainly what the mantra means, but we may chant the mantra and our attention is somewhere else. I mean, it's commonly we chant the mantra and our attention is somewhere else, and our intention is even somewhere else. So it's important to connect the activities that we do with the right intention or purpose. It surely helps to achieve the real purpose of the activity of devotion, and whether it's worshipping of the deity or serving the devotees or hearing Srimad Bhagavatam or chanting the holy name or going on pilgrimage. The purpose behind, or the intention, and staying with that as one does the activity, and cultivating the intention through the activity, very important. And when Krishna sees that, the verse that Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur quotes says, the Lord then is very pleased to always be in the vision when their eyes, such a person, their eyes are smeared with the ointment of love, or ointment of, it doesn't say ointment of love, ointment of devotion. You might have to look up the exact language, but like that. So, again, another way of saying the same thing is the eyes become spiritualized. Because that's what the spiritual realm is. It's the realm of love. I'm trying to remember where I was. Somewhere. Go ahead. Oh, just read it. Just read it.
When a diseased eye is treated with medicinal ointment, it gradually recovers its power to see. Similarly, as a conscious living entity cleanses itself from material contamination by hearing and chanting the pious narrations of my glories, he regains his ability to see me, the absolute truth, in my subtle spiritual form.
Yeah, this is very good. There's a different translation than this one. It's from Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, where he says, like certain ointments allow the eyes to see finer things. You know, my eyes are blurry. I don't have my glasses on. My vision is blurred. So there's corrective lenses, but apparently there's also ointments, at least from the verse, from the translation of, or the rendering by Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, that then through that ointment one can see finer things. So the ointment to allow one to see finer things, or Krishna's subtle form, that's bhakti, the bhakti ointment, or the hearing and chanting ointment. And whatever we are, whoever we are, whatever position we're in our evolution of spirituality, you know, different positions, all of us, each one of us. And even in the course of a day, we can be, you know, higher or lower, up and down, and hills and valleys. But if we just faithfully engage in the process of hearing and chanting Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya, you know, conservatively, regularly, and more precisely, always, continue to hear and chant and hear and chant and hear and chant, and faithfully nurturing with that element of faith the price for entrance into the spiritual world, faith and sincerity and eagerness, then that the ointment covers the eye so it can see finer things, or Krishna then his subtle, more subtle spiritual form can be understood and perceived. Just by the process of hearing and chanting, the process of devotional service, starting with hearing and chanting. Shravanadi bihi, beginning with hearing and chanting, and then further, so forth, etc. All the processes of bhakti that follow the hearing and chanting. And that way, the senses become spiritualized. The hearing sense, the speaking sense, the seeing sense, the smelling sense, they become enlivened spiritually, surcharged spiritually. And then the taste for hearing something mundane, speaking something mundane, eating something mundane, hearing seeing something mundane, it's gone by that, the power of devotional service. And then the capacity to hear Krishna and to speak and to see, and, you know, the senses become spiritualized. That's what's being said here. That's the verse. Exactly. What's the 11:3?
It's 11:14:26.
14:26.
Yeah.
Okay.
Good.
Okay. Good. Good.
Lord Krishna explains the yoga system.
Okay. So that's Uddhava Gita.
It's a nice Krishna purport too.
Huh?
It's a nice little purport.
Okay. You want to read it? Little purport?
I like this purport because it
talks about chanting.
It talks about, it also glorifies the spiritual master.
You want to read it? Sure.
The Lord is called Sukshman, because he is pure spiritual consciousness without any tinge of material energy. If one chants and hears the holy name and glories of Krishna with great sincerity, there is immediately a transcendental effect. We can immediately see the spiritual world and pastimes of the Lord if we fully surrender to the process mentioned here. A blind person feels perpetual gratitude to a doctor who restores his sight.
Mm.
Similarly, we sing Chakshu Dana Viloje, Jamne Jamne Prabhu Seva. The bona fide spiritual master, the representative of Lord Krishna, restores our spiritual sight, and thus he is our eternal Lord and Master.
Om Ajnana Timurandasya. I was just reading, doing a little research about the life of Narottam Das Thakur and his, what's the book, Prema Chandrika? The set of songs, Prema Chandrika? Yes? He begins with that Om Ajnana Timurandasya. That's how he begins it. And the commentary, I don't know who wrote the commentary, Bhumipati translated it, said this is Narottam Das Thakur's heart. He's just revealing his heart, right? The first thing is an expression of deep gratitude that I was in the darkness of ignorance. I was given this wonderful gift. My eyes were forced open with the torchlight of knowledge, and therefore his songs are filled with appreciation. We're going to be discussing one of Narottam Das Thakur's songs tonight. We'll just touch on this point. Okay, so that's the avyakta word, and then another is sandarshitatma. Sandarshitatma. Adrishtaya namaskritya nripa sandarshitatmane. So sandarshita atmane. Atmane is the vocative. It's like Radha and Radhe, or Hara and Hare, and sandarshitatma, sandarshitatmane. The vocative. So it's addressing that very merciful Lord who made himself visible to King Prithu. And that was, so King Prithu was the main person, but the previous verse mentions that the brahmanas, they also saw, they were those who were yajnik brahmanas who were attached to their rituals. They also had their eyes opened and became haran, is the word from yesterday, captivated. You know, they like woke up. Whoa. We were just absorbed in our rituals and now we've seen you. And it's, you know, it's in the case of the yajnik brahmanas in Krishna's Leela, where the yajnik brahmanas, we discussed this yesterday, after they understood that their wives had recognized Krishna, they felt themselves to be, on the one hand, unfortunate, we didn't, but then fortunate because we have wives who do recognize. So they placed themselves in a humble position. Men normally don't do this, but in a humble position before their qualified wives. You're very exalted. And we're less fortunate. You're more fortunate because when you heard Krishna's call for some service, you went immediately. We were just absorbed in our rituals. So the Lord appeared to satisfy and bring happiness to and reciprocate with the devotion of King Prithu. Others also benefited, which is a nice abstraction of that is, if we, any one of us, become Krishna conscious, more Krishna conscious, that's the best service you can do for others, because like a family. Somebody's concerned about, you know, my mother or my sister or somebody. And the best thing that you can do for your mother, your sister, or somebody is become Krishna conscious. That's the best thing you can do. Because when they then think of you, your family member, they'll think of Krishna. Of course, they might be like angry at Krishna. Krishna took my family member away from me. Now they're just addicted to Krishna. But if they're not envious, if they can appreciate, they're very devotional. And like what you described, what Yogananda had to recently do, his sister and brother-in-law in a difficult time, because of her being a devotee, they got benefit. Krishna benefit. Or Nityananda Pran, his father was just diagnosed as having cancer of the esophagus. He can't swallow. So he's been with him in Bombay, dealing with the medical, but also dealing with the fear. And, it's all going to be taken and all that stuff. Mr. Macho is now Mr. Wimpy. And he's hearing Krishna Katha from his son. It doesn't always happen like that. But even if it doesn't happen like that, nonetheless, just because of one becoming dear to Krishna, those who are connected to one who is becoming dear to Krishna by family relation, benefit goes to them. We know that from the son-in-law of Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, who was offended Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. But because he was the son-in-law of Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, Lord Chaitanya blessed him and told Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, no, don't say he should have died. He's related to you, so I showed my mercy to him. No, he should have died. He was offended. He said bad things. He did bad things. It's the best service we can do. We may do other things besides, or in addition to the best service. But do the best service, because it's definitely service. It's definitely service. Become Krishna conscious. And then not just family members, but go a little bit bigger, or go really big and say the world. It's the best service one can do, is become Krishna conscious. Because when Krishna then reciprocates with that person who has become Krishna conscious, let's say, in the Sangha amongst us, any one of us makes spiritual progress, others are getting benefit of that spiritual progress. So we go, yay, keep making spiritual progress, because we're all getting benefit. And it's something that Prithu Maharaj says to his citizens, in fact, when he comes back and he does this address. He says, thank you all for engaging in your prescribed duties so nicely, because when the citizens do so, the king benefits. Of course, it works the other way too. When the king does, the citizens benefit. But that's the nature of karma, vikarma, and bhakti. Any one of them. If, just like Ramchandra Khan, when he offended Haridas Thakur, the whole town was destroyed because he offended Haridas Thakur in the way that he did. And the commentary says like that. The villagers share with when, if someone makes a big offense, and conversely, they benefit if someone becomes elevated. Family members, community. So it's a great way to serve the community. Become Krishna conscious. And assist others as they become Krishna conscious, and encourage them, yay, keep going. Not, boo, I'm envious. Yay, keep going. This is wonderful. Let us continue to support you in your advancements in Krishna consciousness, in celebration. Not because, our party become our group becomes like, we're better than another group. Not that kind of material competition. But, spiritual well-being, it's good for everybody. Good for everybody. So the Supreme Lord appeared to reciprocate with Prithu and others also benefited. So Sandarshitatma, he reveals himself to the vision of the devotee, although he is not visible to ordinary eyes. So the translation reads, although not an object of material vision, the Lord revealed himself. Sandarshitatma. He, in the language of Bhagavad Gita, he's never seen by those who are inimical to him. And Prabhupada explains, Krishna reserves the right. Why not? People that are inimical towards him, they'll never see him. Even he may be before them, they'll not see him. But they'll never see him in the proper way. Yogamaya samadha nam prakasha sarvasya yogamaya samadvata. It's not Krishna's got an attitude because they got an attitude towards him. Oh yeah, well I'll show you. I'll never be visible to you. It's not like that. It's mudhoyam nabijanati. They don't have a proper understanding. Avyayam anutamam. They don't understand he's imperishable and supreme. So a major part of what we receive from scripture is reminders again and again, he's transcendental and supreme. He's not ordinary. He's not ordinary. He's not one of us. He is transcendental and supreme. And, you know, it's just the fact that it's repeated over and over again tells us something, and that is, the something is, we're covered. We're used to seeing, we're covered with envy. We're used to seeing that which is transcendental as like us, because we don't, you know, we're envious. But don't be envious. Understand he's not like us. And because he's not like us, we should celebrate and hear about his glories and serve him and remember him and like that. Love him. And as that spiritualization takes place, then we're qualified to see. And he's inclined to show us, show himself to us. Sandarshitatma. Because the senses have become spiritualized through the process of devotional service, which begins with hearing and chanting his name, his fame, his qualities, his form, his abode, his pastimes, his loving exchanges, and again and again, and unlimited variety of ways in appreciating, cleansing the heart, awakening our loving attraction, starting with hearing and chanting, done in a very careful, thoughtful way. Okay, so that's this morning's class. Any discussion? Questions? Thank you all for braving the slippery weather out there. The roads are bad? Yes, Maharaj. Not too many cars out on the road, right? No. Suja, yes.
So, yes, all the senses, after spiritualized all the senses, you know, hearing, chanting, and doing all the devotion, because of the devotional service, my question regarding that is, sometimes it's like, you know, it's sometimes, you know, it's not steady. It's not steady.
Sometimes it's not steady, okay.
I mean, though we do the same.
Yeah. We're in the stage of anishtita bhakti. It is not steady, and then?
So I'm wondering, like, seeing pure devotees, like, they're, I'm appreciating their being steadiness, and is that we are having is because we all still have that to do the material activities, our day-to-day life things, because of that. We are not doing it willingly, like, that we don't want to do all that thing. But since we have that contact of our regular material activities and also doing the spiritual things, is that because of that reason it's happening to us?
What's the reason again? I want to hear the reason again.
The reason and also how to...
Well, no, I want to hear your description of the reason.
The reason, yeah.
I want to hear it. Say it again.
Going to work and taking care of, like, other...
No. That's not the reason. It's not because there's worldly duties. It's the consciousness that we carry when doing those worldly duties that we're unsteady. We discussed this yesterday during prasadam. Those last verses of Brahma Samhita. The worldly duties don't interfere with bhakti if they're done in the right way. It's not those worldly duties that interfere. It's the consciousness we carry. The same consciousness we carry into the hearing and chanting activities. It's the consciousness, the aversion to Krishna and affinity for matter consciousness.
So, but by doing those material activities, duties with the conscious what we are supposed to carry.
Ah.
So we are doing that, but still we are like.
Those verses answer your question. It's a gradual process. Remember we discussed?
Yes.
Okay. So be enthusiastic, but also be patient.
So if it is long, it's all this lifetime?
However long.
Because it's all
however long. Okay. Don't be a whiner complainer. Be fixed in devotion. However long. It's in Krishna's hand. Don't go, whining and complaining to Krishna. Open your hand. I'm Suja. You're supposed to open your hand. No, don't be like that. I'm exaggerating, obviously, but patience, because we know Krishna's kind. The problem is not over there. The problem is over here. For who knows how many lifetimes my stubborn obstinacy has prevailed. And I'm stomping my little foot saying, Krishna, hurry up. So, don't do like that. Continue to be enthusiastic and continue to be patient. Based on the firm conviction, Krishna is very kind, and this process that he's given is most effective. Let me just carefully, attentively, same as what Lord Vishnu said to Prithu, just follow my instructions and everything will come out. Just be a faithful follower and everything will come out. On Krishna's time, not on yours. According to his plan, not yours. That's the position of the servant. Hare Krishna. Something else? Yes?
Maharaj, when we get, the body gets sick due to fever or flu sometimes, try to take shudra at the lower nature, that circumstance.
You try to? You try not to?
Shudra at the lower nature.
Does it happen? Or, okay, it happens. Okay.
To come back again to normal, definitely there is a lagging that pops over what we have seen and what I have done for a week or 10 days when I'm sick.
Okay.
How to identify and how to take that?
You have identified.
How to take the higher shelter?
Just do it. There's nothing holding you back. It's just the willingness to do so is holding. This is weak.
willingness lacks at that point.
Okay, well then you fall into the lower modes because willingness is weak. But you know where the lever is and pull it. If you don't know where the lever is, you're like, ah, but it's from our side. When tribulation comes, how do we face it? It may be illness or maybe whatever it is. When tribulation comes, how do you face it? Where is your shelter? That tells you where your shelter is. It wasn't Krishna. I thought it was Krishna because I was doing these things, and then the tribulation came, and then the shelter went away. So I really wasn't doing the things so attentively. So whether it's tribulation or whatever the opposite might be spoken of as, bounty. Have or have not, this side of duality or that side of duality, whatever the frame of reference is looking at. Take shelter of Krishna. Take shelter of Krishna. He's your well-wishing friend. Bhoktanam Jagatapasam. That's the peace formula. Sarvaloka Maheshwaram Suradam Sarvabhutanam. Even when you're sick. Gyatramam Shantim Rishati. If you've taken those three principles and made them at the center of your life. So just continue cultivating. The desire for Krishna's shelter becomes stronger. And when tribulation comes and you fall into the lower modes, it tells you, I'm really not so advanced. I'd like to. Especially when tribulation comes, I'd really like to. Because I don't like this suffering thing. I'd like to have Krishna's shelter in any circumstance. Then it's impetus. It tells you where you are, what you need to do. And then take shelter. It's not Krishna's shelter is inaccessible when you have a flu. Only when you're healthy, Krishna's shelter is accessible. That's all. It's difficult. But difficulty can be an impetus to take deeper shelter. Okay. Well, yes. Not able to pray.
I'm not able to, even during difficulties, it's hard for me to
really
pray sincerely.
Maybe you need some more difficulties. No. Got my quota and then some.
I think maybe coming from that, I feel I can tackle the difficulty myself, or I try to teach
of the devotees or like my mentors, but then I think I'm doing it not, I don't feel enough gratitude. Maybe I'm just doing it out of desperation because of these difficult times. Yeah, we don't like to suffer, we don't like pain, we like pleasure, we like happiness. So one of the nice things of qualified people who you may turn to and say, do it for me, is they'll say, I'm not going to do it for you. You have to do it. And you go, wait a minute, you're supposed to do it for me. like pick me up and, carry me to a nice place because I'm in this, uncomfortable. But part of the responsibility of such persons is to assist you in, just use your phrase, praying, calling for Krishna's shelter, calling from your heart, for Krishna's shelter and the wisdom how to properly address whatever the circumstances. They can offer XYZ, but it's not, you know, that's nice. It's very valuable to have such persons in your life. But even XYZ is there. The essence is the taking shelter, not the XYZ. Do this, and then try that, and something. Oh, now I have, you know, I can put in my doership cap and go do it. It's a change of heart, really. And as change of heart comes, then either the prompt from the outside, the circumstance that's saying take shelter of Krishna more, that prompt may subside because now you're taking shelter of Krishna more. And the prompt may not subside. It may continue. It may escalate. Or whatever. You know, whatever Krishna wants is okay, because now I know that awakening of Krishna consciousness is, I know what to do. Take shelter of Krishna. And then Krishna will give me the intelligence XYZ. But it's with the proper consciousness XYZ, not just mechanical doership. That's not the solution. We like material, I mean, we're accustomed to material solutions, but it's not a solution. It doesn't mean, you know, don't do anything practical, but that's not the meaning, but the essence is not the practical act, the essence is the essence, shelter of Krishna. So it's now, you know, 8 minutes before the hour, 7 minutes before the hour. Tomorrow morning, I'm going to have to I can try to work out at a later time, but I scheduled right now to be on a conference call at 8:30. So we need to start the class on time, then the class on time. I'll see if I can shift at 15 minutes or something like that. And I don't know if that's going to be possible. So be on time for class tomorrow, because it's going to end on time. Thank you very much. Prabhupada ki jai.